The message title today is The Spirit of Truth. But before we go into that specific message on the Spirit of Truth, I would like to do a little bit of a review from last week when we were talking about being baptized or being filled with the Holy Spirit and what its purpose was and the difference that it makes in our life, why it was that Jesus told his disciples to wait until they received that power from heaven, power from on high, then they would be his witnesses throughout the world. And these are the different things. First of all, we discovered that the definition or the purpose of us being filled with the Spirit or baptized with the Spirit was to receive power to be dynamic witnesses with authority. We went through the words of Jesus and what he described to his disciples, and that's exactly what he intended for them to be able to do, be dynamic witnesses for him with authority, the power to be dynamic witnesses. And we also looked at very briefly a variety of things that we'll be going over in coming weeks, things that enable us to be those dynamic witnesses. First, we looked at and this is where we're going today. I guess we just briefed through these, but how the Spirit of God reveals truth to us. That is part of the ministry of the Spirit of God. And when we are filled or overwhelmed, baptized by the Spirit of God, he is there as the one that teaches us and leads us and guides us into all truth. He will give direction and preparation for things to come, helping us understand what's ahead in our lives. And we believe that following after that, even as, you know, Evan this morning, just that direction of the Lord to go and be a part of this discipling program, this training program, those are things that lead us into his pathway for us, his will for us in our life, and the Spirit of God gives direction and preparation for those things to come. Effective prayer. We'll find out how the Spirit of God enables us to pray according to the will of God and have more effective prayers that the Lord hears and the Lord answers, and those prayers come to pass. To express the character of God with authority. We'll talk about what it means to be holy, even as God is holy, to express his character, and again, to do it with authority, as Jesus said, to be witnesses of him with authority. And then to communicate effectively with words with authority. To express the power of God with authority. When we see the disciples going forth in the book of Acts, they didn't just preach. They laid their hands on the sick. They did miracles. Things like that was the demonstration of God's power, God's Spirit in them. Why is that? Did that pass away with the disciples? Is that no longer for us today? You know, we'll look at those things and discover what it is that God has intended for us to be, to have the power to be dynamic witnesses for him with authority, with the authority of God. And then also, again, finally, to communicate effectively with words, with authority. The Spirit of God giving us the words to speak, the words to say, so that we can communicate effectively and be ambassadors for him, ambassadors for the kingdom of God. So when we're talking about the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of God given to us to lead us and guide us into all truth, let's first start with defining what is truth. The definition of truth, first of all, it's an actual state of a matter. It is conformity with fact or reality. And it is something that is verified or indisputable fact, proposition, or principle. So when someone says, well, is that the truth? Well, you want something that is factual. You want something that is indisputable. You want something that has been verified, something that for certain it is true, yes, and you can say with definite, you get what I'm meaning, I think, I hope, that yes, it's true. I know that it's true, and I'm confident of that because of these things, because it is the actual state of a matter, because it conforms with fact or reality, and because it is verified an indisputable fact. These are some of the challenges to truth. Now, we all understand that truth is being challenged, especially particularly in the world today. Truth is being challenged, and it's challenged by these various things, by perceived truth. Someone is very, very confident. They think it's been validated or verified, very confident of this is truth. And it's kind of a simple illustration, but you'll get where I'm coming from if I share this with you. There's I drive school bus, and the way that we park when we're loading up students in the afternoon, we all go into the bus corral and we park kind of kitty-cornered up to the curb so that you can see each bus, you know, as you're walking down and enter easily into the door. So when I'm looking out my window, you know, driver's seat, the only thing that I see next to me is another bus. That's all that I see. There have been a number of times where I'm looking at this bus beside me, and all of a sudden I am slamming my foot on the brake because my bus is rolling forward. And pay no attention to the logical thing that my brake is set and that there's a curb in front of me. My bus is rolling forward. That's the perception. That's the perceived truth. Now, what actually happened is he released his brake and was backing up a little bit to make the, you know, get the curb and get out of the corral. But when his bus, and I'm looking at his bus backing up, mine's going forward. That was the perceived truth. So I share that, just that little illustration, so we can see there are some times where we're absolutely certain that's the way it is, but it's just our perception of the way it is. It's not necessarily things are not as they seem. You've heard that before. Another challenge to truth is cultural relevant truth. I want to be careful with that because, you know, where this becomes a challenge is where we say, you know what, this really doesn't pertain to us because our culture is different than that. That was just something that was cultural. And there are things that are cultural, but we can use that as an excuse to say that, you know, well, that doesn't pertain because it's not culturally relevant to us. That can be a challenge to truth, and people want to dismiss things because of that, using that. Another thing is evolving truth. I've come up in conversations with pastors that have a way of saying this part of God's word is really not, doesn't have the same meaning as when it was written because our culture has changed. We've evolved culturally, or truth has evolved for us because of the passage of time, or because we've become more civilized, or what those kinds of things there, where evolving truth becomes a challenge to truth as it is. And another one that we see actually in Scripture is called suppressed truth. In Romans chapter 1, it speaks about that, people who know the truth but suppress it. In other words, they're trying to squash it down. They're trying to, you know, it's like Josh was making reference to Jesus being taken out of so many places of public forum, and, you know, it's like suppressing the truth. There's so much evidence of Jesus, the one raised from the dead, the one with the empty tomb, the one who is proven to be the Son of God because of his resurrection from the dead, and yet he is being put out of as, well, just a man of history. And it's inappropriate to exalt him to a place and allow that to happen. So we see that kind of thing, suppressed truth happening a lot. What is truth? That was a question that Pilate asked Jesus. And I'll encourage you to turn to John chapter 18 and verses 37 and 38. We're going to spend quite a bit of time in the chapters of John 14 through 17, 18 here. So if you want to open up your Bibles there, I'd really encourage you to. I'll put some of the scriptures on the screen, but many of them, I'll just encourage you to turn to them. John chapter 18 and verse 37 and 38. Pilate said, "So you are a king." Jesus responded, "You say I'm a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. So here we see Jesus says, "I was born into the world to testify to the truth." He said, "All who love the truth will recognize what I say is true." Some translations say, "will recognize my voice," or will acknowledge, be able to tell the truth because they love the truth. They'll recognize what I say is true. And, you know, Pilate is kind of there in his exasperation or whatever, you know, as many people in society today are going, "Well, what's truth?" You know, truth is relative. There's relative truth. It doesn't pertain to us. Truth is culturally relevant, whatever. You know, the excuses that are used to say, you know, who can know what's true? And so there is that challenge to truth. And Pilate was asking that question, well, what's true? But Jesus, again, he said, I was born into the world to testify to the truth. If you read through your New Testament, if you read through the Gospels, you will see repeatedly, over and over again, Jesus saying these words, I tell you the truth. Or he was saying, sometimes he'd use the words, depending on the translation you're using, verily, verily, I say to you. Or truly, truly, I say to you. If we had the most modern vernacular, it would probably be just saying. Jesus would be, you know, just saying. In other words, what I'm saying to you is right, it's true, just saying. And so frequently, over and over, he is saying that I'm telling you the truth. So we need to understand that when Jesus is speaking to us in his word, he's declaring truth. We need to embrace it as such. We're very familiar with this scripture, John 14:6, where Jesus told him, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now that, Jesus said, he is the truth. And then John 17:17, I'll have you look that up, if you will. This is Jesus' prayer to the Father, and he says to them, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Make them holy by your word, by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. So again, I think we can, in this congregation, we are not going to have issues with Mr. Gronseth when he says, these are the requirements of those that are going to be teachers of the kids. And I would say, these are the requirements of those that are being trained up in ministry, is you've got to embrace that God's word, the Bible, is the word of God, the inspired word of God, the inerrant word of God. Now, we understand the variety of things that happen through translations and going back to the original and all of that. We take time to explain those things. But the reality of that God has delivered unto us, even in this age, a word that we can trust that is his word, that is his truth for us. Thy word, O God, Jesus said, is truth. And we hold fast to that here in this congregation. And we're going to emphasize a whole lot, get the Bible into your life. Be involved in the word. Understand what the word says. Have it going, you know, tapes, CDs, cell phones, MP3 files, whatever works for you to hear and listen and read to get the Bible into your life. More on that in just a little bit later. Okay, so let's go into the guided into all truth. And we're talking about spirit-filled living, or this being spirit-filled, and what the Spirit of God does in us, to us, through us, for us. And we're going to talk about him being the Spirit that guides us into all truth. Remember, Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, make them holy by your truth. Thy word, your word, is truth. Well, his prayer was answered by God sending the Holy Spirit. And we see how that's answered. John chapter 14, it's the prediction of how God is going to answer that prayer. John 14 and verses 15, you're real close there. I would encourage you to turn there. John 14 and 15 through 17, and then we're going to also look at verse 26. 15 through 17 says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world can't receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So again, according to the words of Jesus, he says the Father will give you an advocate. This is the answer to Jesus' prayer. Make them holy by your truth. Your word is truth. Now he's going to give the Spirit as an advocate, and the Holy Spirit is the one who leads into all truth. He will lead you into all truth. He is with you and will be in you. And again, last week we described the difference between those who are born again by the Spirit of God. There was the difference between that and being filled with the Spirit of God. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are yielding ourselves to the complete ministry of the Spirit of God so that He is able to have that impact in our life. We are yielded to Him when He is expressing truth, the truth of God's Word, and we're receiving revelation and understanding of that. There was such a significant difference in my life when I received that filling or that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I picked up my Bible, and it was like, it literally was like a brand new book to me. I started reading through Romans, which is big on doctrine. Romans is big on teaching. You know, Paul is laying a foundation for this relationship of faith. And it was like, wow. You know, I'm reading this, and the understanding of it is coming to me. It's settling in me, and comparing scripture. Oh, yeah, this verse over here that's like that. And when you look at these together and you sort these out, wow, it's like it was something brand new to me. And that's the kind of experience that I desire for each one of you to have, is to realize that God has equipped you with someone, not something, but someone, enabling you to receive the revelation of His Word, to receive the truth. God's Word is truth, to be able to receive that. And not only just He's with you, but He is in you. I just keep wanting to jump to the verses ahead that talk about that anointing that's on the inside of you that leads you and guides you into all truth. That anointing that helps you to understand what's true and what is not a lie. What's true and what are lies. Okay, I'll just wait till I get there. 14:26 then. It says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So we need the Word of God on the inside of us for the Spirit of God to take hold of that Word and remind us of what it says. You'll be encountering a situation, you'll be faced with some philosophy or some teaching. Zach's word this morning was so appropriate from the Colossians 2:8 to not be taken captive by the base doctrines of this world or the teachings and the traditions of men. We will be taken captive if we don't have something to compare it with or the Spirit of God to be able to help us to discern what is right and what is wrong by what is being presented to us. Even when you are hearing teaching, preaching of the Word of God, you need the Spirit of God on the inside of you discerning through that which is being taught or being spoken. Every human presenter, you know, other than Jesus coming and speaking Himself here, every human presenter is subject to making error. And you have to have the discernment, the ability to sort through those things. I'll just give you a little example. It wasn't a big issue. It wasn't like a doctrinal, you know, of error or apostasy or anything like that. But I remember sitting in a service and the minister, who was a very prominent minister, talking about Abraham and how God had called him to sacrifice up Isaac. And what a devastating thing, what a horrible thing for Abraham to have to suffer that kind of experience, that it was such a devastation for him to face that kind of a trial. And I thought, you know, he's leaving something out. Because in Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks about faith. By faith, Abraham saw Isaac raised from the dead. He considered that if he was to sacrifice his son, that God would raise him from the dead. You know, so in all reality, Abraham already had that vision before he raised the knife. So it wasn't like it was such a devastating thing because of the faith of Abraham in the promise of God. So that was just a small thing. Where, you know, it wasn't like, oh, you know, don't listen to that teacher again, he's way off base. It's just that there was a part of it that wasn't being considered. I'm sure that'll happen when, you know, and please, you know, give us ministers some grace, because we can't share the whole Bible every Sunday, you know, or every time we minister and go, okay, that's, I have enough trouble holding back the way it is with the amount of scriptures that I'm bringing in, because I want to do that. I want to validate and verify these truths so you can see they are validated, they are verified. It's not just a whim. The scripture is saying this. But we need to be able to take that, because he will remind us of these things. He will lead us into this truth, and it will enable us to understand and to discern what's right and what's wrong. Okay, John chapter 15 and verse 26. Again, you're really close there, so just a couple pages away. John 15, 26 says this, "But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me." So again, what's the Spirit of truth going to do? Jesus is going to send the Spirit, and he will testify about me. This is God's way of imparting truth, the Word of God, the words of Jesus, reminding us of the words that Jesus said. He will testify all about me. Okay, then John chapter 16, and verses 12 through 16. We've looked at some of these passages before as we've talked about living by the Spirit. Jesus said here, "There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you about what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling me whatever he receives from me. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me." So again, Jesus starts out saying here that there's much more to tell you, but you can't bear it now. There was a reason they were not able to perceive and understand it at that point of Jesus imparting these things to them, because they did not yet have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of them, giving them that ability to receive all truth. There was things that they had to come into before they were able to bear that. But then Jesus describes the difference that it's going to be. When the Spirit of truth comes, verse 13, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He'll tell you about the future. And then here we see how he speaks in verses 14 and 15, what he takes from the Father. The Spirit receives that which is from Jesus, who receives from the Father. So the Father is imparting things to Jesus. Jesus imparting these things to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God imparts these things to us. He takes what is of Jesus, Jesus receives that from what is God, and he imparts that to us. And then again, as it describes there in the last part of verse 13, he will tell you about the future. He will lead and guide you into those things which are to come. If one of these messages, one of these in this series, I will be going into this being led by the Spirit of God. Having a Spirit-filled life, Spirit-filled living means being led by the Spirit. And here's the obvious scripture that would segue into that. We'll probably come back and visit this when we get into that part of this series, where the Spirit of God will lead us. He'll reveal things that are to come. He'll show us or tell us about the future. How better can we live in this world than having been given direction by the Spirit of God? Okay, then 1 John, I'll put these up on the screen for you. Here's where I was so excited before about the extreme advantage that we have with the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us to help us to discern truth, to help us sort through all the things that come to us from the world or from even from someone teaching or preaching, to be able to discern those things. When in 1 John 2, verses 20 and 21, it says, "But you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you his Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies." You know the difference between truth and lies. Why is that? Because the Holy One has given you the Spirit of truth, and all you know the truth. All of you know the truth. And then look at verse 27 of that same chapter, 1 John 2:27. "But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you, so you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ." You know, this is a point that I make frequently Sunday after Sunday, especially when we're praying and preparing for the ministry of the Word. I make reference to the fact that you have the Spirit of God. In some translations, it's called the anointing. You have the anointing on the inside of you. And he is, as it says here, the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. You are not, it says, you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. Now, this seems like a contrast to Scripture, or a contradiction with Scripture, that, you know, Jesus has given unto the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why would he give teachers if you don't need someone to teach you? But this verse is saying you don't need someone to teach you. I think with bringing those things together, again, rightly dividing or discerning the Word of God, what we understand is you are not dependent upon people to receive and to walk in truth, because the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, helping you to sort through when people make a mistake with the words that they say, or when someone is attempting to intentionally lead you into error. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you that is helping you to understand and sort through truth and that which is not truth. Or here's another thing that I see happening here that's expressed by this, is I know that in any particular message, I'm sharing a few things, I'm verbalizing a few things, but the Spirit of God in you is going beyond that, personalizing the message for you and revealing other truths to you beyond the words that I say. You are not dependent upon me for receiving the instruction that you need in every particular service, in every part of your life. If you were dependent upon me, you'd come up real short. But the Spirit of God on the inside of you is going beyond those things. You're not dependent upon humans to teach you the truth. You've got the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you, who's helping you to discern that and understand beyond what any speaker will say. And according to the Word of God, that's why it's so important for you to have that resource of the Word of God on the inside of you. And that's where we're going with this next part of the message here. The transformational raw material. What are you talking about? Well, let me give you this as an illustration to help understand that the Spirit who reveals truth, the Spirit who reminds us of the words of Jesus, needs some raw material on the inside of us to be able to do those things. And again, this illustration might help you understand. There was a gentleman who was seated on a park bench when a little chap comes along beside him. And he starts winding this watch that he's got. The little boy is winding this really cool watch he's got. He's winding it up, and the guy says to him, "Wow, that's a really nice watch." He says, "Does it tell you what time it is?" And the boy says, "No, you have to look at it." Okay. What I'm signifying by that is, it's not just that the Spirit of God is on the inside and you go, "Whoo, I got filled with the Spirit, so whatever I need, he's going to get it to me." It's like, well, you know what? You have a part in that. It's not just him speaking to you. It's him bringing to your mind and helping you to understand those things that you have looked into, those things that you have read. Just like you got to read the face of the watch before it's going to tell you the time. It's like you have to be in the truth before the Spirit of God can take that truth and reveal it and impart it to you and help you to discern between right and wrong. You've got to give him the raw materials to work with. You've got to receive that Word of God. Okay, so here's where we go with understanding that. Several scriptures, Romans 12:2, it says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Here again, where that word, Zach, that you brought forward from Colossians 2:8. It's like every Sunday morning I sit back here and I go, they're going to preach my message before I ever get to it. Maybe not the same verses, but the same topic, the same subject. That's happening all the time. And I know that's the work of the Holy Spirit. From more than one source, he is saying, this is what I want you to understand. See, you can think worldly. You can think according to the ways of the world because it's being presented to you all the time. The traditions of man, the base doctrines of this world are being presented to you all the time. But we need to be changed from that. And this is a way that we are transformed or changed by changing the way that we think. The way we change the way we think is by getting into the truth of God's word. If you want to know, if you want to have something that can be validated, something that is, you know, is going to be true, you go to the word. Jesus said, your word is truth. When he was praying to God, your word is truth. Make them holy by your word. Your word is truth. And so to validate, to know that we're living along in line with what is not the ways of this world, we need to change the way we think. And we change the way we think by conforming to not the spirit of this world, but the spirit of God and the word of God. You know, that's how we, again, we'll change perceived truths. Remember when I was talking about perceived truths? It's like, well, this is the way I believe it is. Well, what's your base? What's the basis of your belief? Well, it's what everyone else thinks, or, you know, it's what our society thinks is okay or is true. Or it's like, well, you've got to base it on, you've got to be able to challenge the perceived truths, or you've got to be able to challenge the suppressed truths. When people are suppressing the truth, you've got to be able to challenge that. And the word of God enables you to do that. Look at this passage of scripture that speaks to the change that takes place by the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think our words were as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. So this gospel that they shared was the word of God. He said, that's the way you received it. That's what it is. It is the very word of God. And this word continues to work in you who believe. So God's word is at work in us. The Spirit of God takes that word, reveals truth, brings to our remembrance the things that Jesus said, imparts to us, leads and guides us according to that truth, and it changes our lives. It brings about change in our life. That's the Word of God active in you. Oh boy, I could go right there. You know, the Word of God is alive and active, able to pierce asunder between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. The Word of God, it's alive. It changes us. Then John chapter 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The last part of this passage is probably, you know, what everyone all over knows and could quote. If you went up to some stranger on the street and said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you, they'd probably say it, free, you know. But how many people know the part before that? Where, what did Jesus say? If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's condition to that, being made free by the truth. You know, we could go around, you know, if I could make this service more interactive if we were willing to dedicate a bunch more time to this. We could go around and say, I could ask you the question, how does truth make you free? Well, understanding God's word can keep you out of a lot of trouble, can keep you out of jail. If you see in the word where it says to love your neighbor as yourself, you know, you're not going to steal from your neighbor because you wouldn't do that. And so therefore, because you don't steal, you have a lot more freedom, because when you do steal, what do? Go to jail. You know, so there is a just right up front, right now kind of understanding of how truth can bring freedom. But it's not just truth. It's knowing the truth. It's continuing in his word so you can know the truth. And so that when you're about to pick up something that doesn't belong to you with the intention of taking it to make it yours, the Spirit of God says on the inside of you, don't do that. It's going to make trouble for you. That's the indwelling Spirit of God convicting of what's right and what's wrong. And so that's so vital, so important for us to have that kind of ministry of the Holy Spirit going on. And we don't want just a little bit of that. We want it in its overwhelming state. We want that filling of the Spirit to give us that ability. Then Colossians chapter 1, 4 through 6. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You've had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. So here we see truth, the truth of the good news, the truth of God's word, is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. The Spirit of God takes that word. The Spirit of God prompts you with that word, reveals truth, brings freedom into your life, brings change into your life as that word, the truth of the good news, is bearing its fruit in our lives. Again, when we've talked about emphasizing the Word of God and having the truth in your life, we've got something that we're going to gift you with, and that is we're going to do one for each household. If you're, you know, a regular kind of even sort of regular attender of Praise Fellowship Church, you're contributing to our family here as we gather, we want to gift your household with this New Testament on CD, and I'm going to put it in a program so we have the opportunity to kind of go through it together. We did this with the story for the whole of the Bible. There wasn't a lot of time for us to look into all of the detail of the New Testament, and I'm not intending to make this a series of messages like we did with the story. But through the months of October, November, and December, there are 13 weeks, and there are 13 CDs in the set to go through the New Testament. So it'll be very convenient for us to take one CD each week that is some of the chapters of the Bible, and they turn out being like between an hour and a half long, the whole CD. So that shouldn't be too much to go through in an hour, or excuse me, in a week. But the other thing is that we have access to copy these. So if you want to take these and download them on your computer, put them on your iPod, whatever works for you, your USB disc or stick, you know, however it works for you to play this, I'm going to encourage you, because this is putting the raw material of that which the Spirit of God will take and enable us to understand truth. The more we get this in, the more the Spirit of God has the ability to do that. So I've got a, you know, basically it's our attendance record that I'm going to, when you pick one up, don't leave today without getting one of these. As I shared, for each household, we want you to be able to have that. So that's part of our desire of getting these raw materials of the Word of God into your life. And I want to close with this passage of Scripture then that shows the significance of the Spirit of God taking that which is of God and imparting it to us for understanding. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. And I'm sure this one will come up as well when we're talking about being led by the Spirit and the importance of the Spirit of God in our lives to help us to understand what God has prepared for us. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16, if you want to turn there, please. It says, that is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who loved Him, those who love Him. Now, if we stop there, it would be a sad thing. I'm putting this down, just paraphrasing it as in the notes, as no one has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Again, if we stop there, it'd just be, wow, God has so many things for us, but we'll never know, we'll never perceive it, we'll never see it. But it goes on to say this in verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. So God has prepared things for those who love Him, and He reveals those to us, even though we would not in our wildest imagination be able to perceive those things. No mind can imagine. No eye has seen, no ear has perceived, no ear has heard, no eye has seen. We cannot imagine those things that God has prepared, but God will reveal those things to us by His Spirit, it says, and shows us God's deep secrets. These are secrets that God intends for you to have knowledge and understanding of. Now, we do see, just an easy scripture to remember, Deuteronomy 29, 29 says that the secret things belong to God, but those revealed belong to us, belong to man. There are secret things that God doesn't reveal. One of them is the day that Jesus is coming back. A whole lot of people have tried to predict that, and they are shown for the fools that they are, because the Word of God says that no man knows. No man knows the day or the hour. So some people try to come up, well, it's the year. It didn't say we wouldn't know the year. Anyway, what we see here is people just not, you know, understanding. There are secret things that belong to God that He doesn't reveal. But there are things that He has revealed, and He has given us His Spirit to reveal those things, to show us even God's deep secrets. Continue on in verse 11 through 12, it says, no one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. See, again, we've received His Spirit. We want to walk in the fullness of His Spirit, overwhelmed by His Spirit, so that we can know those things that God has freely given us. And then verses 13 and 14, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these things from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Here's where we come up in conflict with either natural thinking or with people who are not believers. The things of God seem foolish to them because they are not spiritually discerning them. They aren't spiritual people. And even, again, believers who are not receiving that revelation by the Spirit of God will think more naturally or be held captive by the base teachings, doctrines, traditions of this world. And so God gives us His Spirit so we can come out of that, spiritually appraise things, and receive those things that God has for us. He has prepared for us. If we are not of spiritual people or of spiritual development or maturity or fullness of the Spirit, we're going to write off a lot of things that God would have for us and say, oh, that's just foolish. Verse 15 and 16. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. We understand these things because we have the mind of Christ. See, if we don't have the Spirit, we won't receive revelation, and the things of God will seem foolish to us, and we'll be exempting ourselves from some real God experiences in our life. You might say, I do have the Spirit. I received the Spirit when I became a Christian. But I'm talking about being overwhelmed, being full of the Spirit, being absolutely yielded to the ministry of the Spirit of God to lead and guide us into all truth. It is so important for us to have that, for us to be able to progress in the things that God has prepared for us who love Him, for us to be able to even imagine them. We won't without the Spirit of God revealing those to us. It's needed more and more to experience and to understand having a Spirit-filled life. Let's pray. Father, when we see these words from Scripture that give so much understanding of the Spirit of God, so much revelation concerning how the Spirit has been given to us, we go back to the words of Jesus when He said, it is to your advantage that I go away, for when I go, I will send the Spirit. And then we see all these things that the Spirit of God is going to enable us to do, to be powerful, dynamic witnesses for Jesus in not just our words, but in our lifestyle. walking in truth that brings freedom, and people see that freedom and say, man, I want that. How do you walk in that freedom? How do you walk in that peace? How do you walk in that not having fear or anxiety? When people observe that in our lives, it will draw them to you. That's your intent, Lord. And so we want to be a part of that, having a spirit-filled life, spirit-filled living, whereby we are being directed and led and receiving understanding and revelation of the truth that brings freedom to our lives. Father, we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.